Hello and welcome to Foundation Nation. I'm your host, Matthew Cote. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about some interesting recent goings-ons in our beautiful state and maybe even a few things going on in this amazing round thing we call home. Hey, hello, I'm Matthew Cote, host of Foundation Nation, and we are sitting under the SeaTac Airport having a little chit-chat about some recent local and international stuff, and I'm here with tech genius Jay with Jay's Technology Solutions. And what you got?
Hi, my name is Jay Salmi, owner of Jay's Technology Solutions. I provide IT and AV solutions for you and your business. I have the pleasure to co-host on Foundation Nation today. Let's start the frivolity, Matt.
Okay, so let's start with first topic of the day. What the hell is frivolity?
Frivolity?
Yeah.
Fun. Well, laughter. Fun.
Laughter.
Excitement.
It's like, it sounds like it should be a drink.
Hmm. That could be a fun drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So it's holiday season. We have some stuff to talk about, but I have some things that I'm curious about.
Okay.
I'm interested about. It's Christmas time.
Yes.
Tis the season.
Tis the season to be jolly.
La 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 la. So we were writing some things down so I could have some notes about your superpowers, but we were talking about DIY project master. So what is the project that you're doing, and can you explain a little bit about what that is?
So right now, the project that we are working on is, it actually started about 5 years ago with a single Christmas style train from Lego with a track going around the tree. Just one train. Now this is a multitude of different Christmas winter scenes, minifigures, white base plates, three train tracks.
Wait, white instead of the green?
Exactly, because it's winter time. It's got to be snow. Yeah. There's 126 base plates that are down on the floor underneath the Christmas tree. And we are almost done and getting it all set up. And I will be posting video and pictures on my Facebook page here, hopefully by Sunday night.
Is that a personal or a company one?
It'll be my personal one. I was thinking about putting it on the company Facebook page as well.
Okay. Well, let us know on the next episode if you do, because we'll add a link on the podcast.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, watch it. That Christmas stuff can be really cool.
It's roughly 9 feet by 8 feet in size.
Jesus. Holy. And,
yeah.
That's amazing.
And I 3D printed Lego style looking supports for the elevated train track.
Oh, okay.
So
3D print. What is the material that the 3D printer uses? What is it called?
It's technically it's filament, but it's PLA, ABS, PETG, PLA Plus, carbon fiber.
Okay.
Flex, a whole bunch of different options.
Oh, okay. But more or less plastic.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Plastic.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So, I mean, we have some good news going on. Like, I wanted to start out with some like kind of good news. Gas prices are falling.
I don't care anymore.
You don't care anymore. Why is that?
I drive an electric vehicle.
You drive an electric vehicle.
Yeah. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
So tell me about... So has anybody flipped you off going down the road?
Oh, I got haters, yes.
How do they interact? Like... With you?
Well, one car got mad at me. I have no idea why, other than the fact I might have been in Tesla, and he or she, because I wasn't looking, tried to tap my side view mirror with their side view mirror.
What?
Kept weaving over and trying to tap my side view mirror. At least that's what it appeared to be.
Yeah.
I just looked straight forward and didn't make eye contact.
Wow.
It's too scary these days.
People are kooky looky. Yeah.
I had one person that I wasn't even in the fast lane, as people call it, the left lane. I was in the carpool lane with carpool person. I was actually able to stay in there legally, not like some people do. And person went flying by and flipped me off.
Wow.
And my passenger looked at me and looked at how fast we were going, because, you know, in the Tesla, the display is right there. Anybody can see it in the car, how fast you're going.
Uh-huh.
And he looks over, he goes, oh, they just hate Teslas.
Oh, geez.
And this happens more than it should.
You know, in my truck, I haven't had any issues with Teslas. I think their sensors just stay the hell away from the truck or something.
Yeah, they do.
But I've had no issues with, Toyota Priuses. You know, out of all the vehicles in the whole world, and you've seen my truck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Consistently cutting me off. That's it. That's the only problem. And that's why I love driving my truck, because I, you know, it feels really safe. If they crash, they're actually not going to hit me. They're just going to go under it and come out the other side.
They're not quite that small, man.
Yeah. Well, the only issues for vehicles is just like, I want to interview a Prius driver. Like, who are these people? Like, because I'm not looking at their face. It's just, they're just out to get you. They see a big truck and they just want to like circle around you like a shark and poke at you.
Well, the funny thing is what I've noticed is it doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you got, mm-hmm. people are going to cut you off. Mm. You know, I've seen smart cars get cut off by big trucks, vice versa.
Yeah.
The road rage is horrible right now.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse. And all you have to do is just look out your window just to see if you can move over. And if someone thinks you're giving them a bad look, they'll get mad at you.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's and who knows if it's gas prices, if it's the pandemic, which people blame the pandemic for more than they should have. At least that's my opinion. Remember, people, these are our opinions, not actual fact on a lot of this.
What are you talking about? All I do is talk about facts.
The fact of your opinion.
I'm going to eat a cookie right now. Let's see how this sounds on the radio. Let me see. Hold on. Are you able to hear it?
Yes.
Does it sound like a cookie?
Sounds like you're chewing.
Interesting.
But in all reality, I do actually, my wife and I still have a gas vehicle.
Okay.
It's a 69 Chevelle.
Oh, 69. I've seen that. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't fill it up that often because it's not driven very much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I go to the gas station when it gets filled up and I don't even look at how much is going in.
Well, so, okay, look, if you have to fix your... Your Chevy Chevelle, is it carbureted?
No, I put fuel injection in it myself.
Okay, so you have a Chevelle, you got fuel injection, so you can fix that with a screwdriver. Now, if you're Tesla, you need 27 laptops and a PhD.
Well, with the warranty on it, I don't care. Just Tesla fixes it and I move on my day.
Okay.
So the warranty is quite nice.
The warranty's strong.
I'm the third owner of mine and
it's worked out well.
The warranty is true. It does transfer with the car, mm-hmm. not with the original owner.
Well, that's good. Well, so right now, national gas price averages are $3.14.
That seems low.
It seems low. And they were at $4.70. So we're below, over a dollar, about 60% of the gas stations in the country are at $3 a gallon, and they're going to get below $2.75. So when I remember like 10 years ago, we're going to run out of gas, and it was this big old thing going on, and it was the end of the world. I read an article probably 5 years ago, interesting article. This guy, it was a Ford dealership. They had a guy come in, have a chat with them. He had a car, a four-door sedan. I think I might have told you that one time. No, maybe.
I don't know.
He comes walking into Ford dealership, four-door sedan, sits down, gives him a presentation. This car gets 320 miles to the gallon. It's a gasoline car, four-door sedan.
How's that even probable?
I don't know. But this was in the 80s. Where the hell is that car? And would we need electric cars if they got 150 miles to the gallon? You know, that's I was just wondering, you know, how much of a play the big boys, what do they call them, the big five? You know, the big manufacturers, how much of them? Because I know for a fact that long ago, a guy invented intermittent wipers. He took them to the Ford dealership. This was on a Netflix thing, the documentary. He took it to the Ford dealership. And he said, this is what I have, this intermittent wiper thing. And they're like, oh, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. He walks out. Like 3 weeks later, they invent it and it's on every one of their cars. Hmm. So I know that they buy and bury things, or they buy, you know, they're very strong. They're very competitive, you know, or in that way, and controlling. So I just wonder how much of it, you know, the electric manufacturers are having to battle through with these guys, you know.
Right.
Because I know that somehow they like made some weird law where you can't even have electric dealership kind of thing, right? So you can only have like an electric car in a mall, in a store, but you can't have like a full-on for example, Tesla dealership, like you can have a Honda dealership or a Chevy dealership. There's some weirdness going on there.
That's intriguing because I heard the opposite of that, that car manufacturers were upset and basically saying that Tesla had to have a dealership.
Mm.
So it's amazing.
I don't really know what's going on, but there's some definitely some big, you know, ball swinging watermelon sized deals going on out there about that stuff.
And when you look up information, you and I could type in to look for the same thing and we'll both get three different answers.
Right.
So it's just the way it is.
And, yeah.
You know, and as far as gas prices and electric cars and everything, I remember back in high school, my chemistry teacher was talking about the technology where literally you take the hydrogen out of water. And you use that to burn and make a motor, an engine run, and the byproduct is oxygen. This technology exists,
right,
and yet it never actually made it anywhere. Early on in the internet, when you could actually look up YouTube videos and, you know, everything was out there and you could see a lot. And I remember finding a article and a video about a guy. I don't know if it was Canada or the U.S., but it was over on the East Coast, around the Great Lakes somewhere. Like I said, I don't know if it was Canada or the U.S., but it was right around that area. And he had a video where he ran his car. He made an adjustment, all the changes, and custom made whatever he needed. And he poured water in, and the engine ran, and he could drive it.
It was a hydrogen.
Hydrogen car.
Okay, well, here, Jay. Okay. Have you ever heard of a gas bomb? No.
Yeah. But
they have the biggest non-nuclear weapon in the world is a hydrogen bomb.
But you're talking massive amount of hydrogen in those. This is a small amount.
Oh, so it's just a little bomb.
Yeah, just a little bomb. You do know that your gas truck that's sitting right outside here is a bomb as well, right? It can explode.
All right. Okay, cool.
You know,
we're all driving around bombs.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Ford Pinto? Have you ever read how? So Ford Pinto had they own the record for the biggest, nastiest recall there ever was. Mm-hmm. You rear end the Ford Pinto and it blows up because the gas tank was right behind the bumper.
Well, they did the same thing with the Ford Explorer.
Holy shit. Ford Explorer. Ford Exploder.
They had that same issue with that. They had to change that too.
That's
but
interesting.
Most tanks on a lot of cars are behind the back bumper. Our 69 Chevelle, the gas tank is right behind the bumper. You actually have to open the license plate in order to get to the fuel fill.
Oh, yeah, right.
To put gas in. So you're literally going through the bumper to fill up the gas tank.
Yeah. Well, my 72 Chevy, you know, truck that I drive around, the blue and white one, the gas tank is directly behind the seat. So you can smash into the truck all you want. It's not going to blow up. But you're completely high the entire time you're driving it from the gas fumes. So, you know, it's kind of a trade-off, safety and hallucination.
Foundation Nation is proudly sponsored by Jace Technology Solutions. Call Jace Technology Solutions at 253-376-7579 for all your computer repair, IT, and network solutions.
So a big company that we have locally here is Boeing, and they're kind of heading the trend to get everybody to go back to work full time. And starting January 1st, when everybody comes back, you know, from Christmas vacations and stuff, they want everybody back in the office full time. And you were just telling me about how your dad lived in Puyallup and worked in Everett.
Correct.
There's a lot. So that's far.
Yes.
That's hella far, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a train that... No, it doesn't go that far.
No, we're talking... This was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
So I think that from what I know, there's people that live even further than that that work for Boeing. So, you know, because it's been a few years, maybe more now, that they've been working remotely and they've had to, you know, they want to buy a house and the houses are expensive the closer you get to Seattle. So they got to kind of like go further away to get a house they can afford, right? So now it's like, Boeing, I don't understand, like, what do you think, why do they want everybody back in the office? What's the deal?
Well, there's two types of employees that we got to think about here, Matt, is the fact that you have employees that actually physically work on planes or cars or whatever the manufacturing process is for said company. with the office staff, which is what Boeing is talking about, anyone who works in the office and collaborates on projects as far as contracts and design work and everything like that, they can work remotely from home with the proper setup for collaborating, especially with, like, some people hate it, some people don't. Microsoft Teams, great way to collaborate together. But when you're in person physically next to somebody, you're able to collaborate a lot faster, a lot quicker, and a lot easier. So I agree and disagree with going back to full in time for employees, because a lot of these positions that companies have, they can have them do it remotely from their own home. But keep in mind, if a employee doesn't do their work efficiently, then yeah, I can understand they want them to come back to the office because there's no distractions you have at home.
Right. You can focus on actually doing right. what you're getting paid for, you know, in the best way you can.
And there's those that I actually know people personally that work out of the home. They have their wife, they have their kids are homeschooled. And the for both of these people I'm talking about, the husband's the one that works, and they are 100% focused on their job during that time. The
wife, did you say at home?
At home.
Okay.
And they don't get distracted by their family because they know they have the parameters set up.
Right.
And as long as you do that, you can get very good work out of employees.
Right.
But that depends on the employee and their living arrangements.
Right.
And how well they work.
Right.
We were just talking about gas prices. Get people off the road, and that reduces congestion. It reduces smog. It reduces wear and tear on the roads.
Right, sure.
I mean, there's so many benefits to working remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And even if remotely means, hey, we understand that we got, like, let's say Eatonville, right? Mm-hmm. We'll just throw something that's way out. Hey, Eatonville, Mike, you know, whatever company, let's say Alaska, let's say they got 50 people in Eatonville. Don't make them come all the way up to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build an office in Puyallup or Graham or Bonnie Lake, you know, mm-hmm. something closer. And there you go.
Yeah.
Everyone can collaborate down there.
Mm-hmm.
That would actually enhance
that's probably a good
employee
idea.
Employee satisfaction.
Yeah. Instead of having a giant building with everybody in it, have smaller satellite offices, you know,
mm-hmm.
around. And I think that would probably increase your retention too, you know.
Yep.
So the CEO, David Calhoun, I think he goes by Dave, he had an all hands meeting. And his quote was, "Our virtual moment was a great moment. It taught all of us, especially old timers, that people can work virtually." And he believes that there are massive benefits associated when people are together. They do have to work. Do they have to work 5 days a week? He's not sure. But I think he's driving the main theme here, which is he sees a benefit in everybody being together, kind of working as a tribe in one place at one. So if that's the case, if you're trying to, I see two things here. One is the worker being a good worker and doing mm-hmm. their job. And then also there's a lot more benefits to them all being together, working together.
Yep.
So I do see that. And I think that's what they're doing, is they just want everybody together, working together as a team,
right?
You know, and having that camaraderie. And even satellite offices or whatever, I don't think you can get that. So,
well, that is true.
What is the rest of the world doing? Is this still is this remote shit? Is it just in the United States, or is the world doing this? I don't know.
I actually have not been paying attention to the rest of the world, but I do know the rest of the world and the United States are not hand in hand.
No,
with so many things.
I feel like I my guess is everybody's, you know, working together, you know, in a close way to get things done. I know that a good friend of mine, he has a sister that works for a company in Ukraine, and they make prescription glasses and sunglass frames out of plastic. They mold them and they make them out of plastic. They don't make the lenses,
right?
But they make the frames for sunglasses and prescription glasses in Ukraine out of scrap plastic. And it's like, you know, they're not a super big company. I think they're like 50 people or something like that, whatever. But they owe their success to everybody in one place working together. And the way they did it was like it's like imagine a big giant square, a warehouse, and on all the outside edge of the warehouse, all the way around the outside edge, is all the office cubicles and spaces to work. And in the middle is a factory. Hmm. And so they're intertwined to the next level, you know, like right. They spin around their chair and they're looking directly in the factory. I thought that was a genius idea, you know,
yeah.
To be involved in like, you know, you're right there. You know, imagine working in a bread factory, you know, making really good. Well, what's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Okay.
Common for most.
Mine too. So, okay. So imagine that we're like, you know, we're both like the CEOs of a pizza company, okay? Mm-hmm. And all our workers are there. And so it's same scenario, right? We're in the office, but the office is around the outside edge. And in the middle is a giant pizza factory cooking and making pizzas, you know? Well, probably we'd be either constantly hungry, constantly full, or so goddamn fat we wouldn't even be able to work. It'd be couches all the way around. I don't know, but it would really, you know, you'd be in it. You'd go home smelling like pizza sauce.
Like when I worked at Pizza Hut.
Yeah, yeah. The best, that's the best pizza. Pizza Hut's the best pizza. Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's.
I like Brewery City Pizza the best.
Brewery City, where's that?
Brewery City Pizza. There's three locations down in the Lacey and Olympia area.
Oh, Brewery. Is that kind of a Chicago-style deep dish thing, or?
You know, I'm not very good at knowing the different styles. But
is it a really thick crust?
No. This is more like hand-tossed type stuff.
Oh, okay.
Second best for me is Round Table.
Round Table. Yeah, they have good pizza. That's right. Yeah.
So when you're bringing up these fact of these employees working around the warehouse, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So in this day and age with AI and virtual reality, there are other options that are coming very much to the forefront. Of course, you have the Microsoft HoloLens. You can work in 3D in virtual and real reality at the same time with multiple people.
So you're all in like a virtual room?
Right. You have the HoloLens on and you're looking and you could have like...
Does that make people sick?
The HoloLens is a see-through lens. You can see your surroundings as well as what is being projected in real time. And then you got the Apple Pro Vision coming out early in the year.
Okay.
And that is technically closed. But because of all the cameras and the technology that Apple uses, you see what's around you in real time.
Mm.
And it takes away, based on their studies, they're saying it takes away from that feeling vertigo, of feeling dizzy.
Okay.
And you know, off-center.
They're trying to eliminate that.
And then if you start talking to someone that came up to you and they're talking to you and you're talking to them, the front of the Pro Vision, the lens on it is actually like a TV, a little tiny TV screen,
uh-huh.
And it'll show your eyes in that main part of your face so they could see you looking at them.
Yeah.
And then when you stop talking with them, it goes back to just a blank screen and everyone knows you're immersed in whatever you're doing.
Okay.
But the Pro Vision, you can work in that real time and virtual reality and collaborate on stuff. You can have an object there and all of you can add and subtract stuff to it. And work together to create something.
Oh, okay. An object.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Imagine being inside a video game where you can interact with it and add and take away
like
things.
Yeah, like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, going in there, fighting bits.
You know, I mean, it's going to bring a whole new meaning to a TV, a monitor.
Oh, right,
You can literally have a TV here. You can have your FaceTime here. You can have your Zoom call here. And intertwined between all of them.
Right.
So I would not suggest having a FaceTime and a Zoom call at the same time. That would really get confusing. But you could be on a Zoom call and have your PowerPoint up and see it.
Right.
Everything is as large or as small as you need it.
Well, I'm going to wrap this up. We'll save the other articles and stuff for another time. But I'm going to spend some time and bring some more technology conversations to the table. That's going to be really cool. And that's going to be one of them on the next show. So I wanted to thank Tech Genius Jay for co-hosting and joining us for some time. And I'm Matthew Cote. This is Foundation Nation.
This is Jay Salmi of Jay's Technology Solutions.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Foundation Nation is proudly sponsored by Jace Technology Solutions. Call Jace Technology Solutions at 253-376-7579 for all your computer repair, IT, and network solutions.